Minority representation is on the rise in just about every aspect of American business, except for the hemp industry. Today, on the show, we're going to talk about why. At present, hemp is still a very much venture capitalist game in America, and the USDA just handed down some new guidelines that no one is really happy about, but we'll get to that in the next episode. Today, we're going to talk about why there isn't more minority representation in the hemp business, and what companies like Nothing But Hemp are doing to change that. My name is Matt Baum, I'm your host, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast. But before we get into that, let's talk about drug tests for a minute. This month, in the November edition of the Journal of Analytical Toxicology, researchers working with the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine published a study about the impact of CBD exposure on urine drug testing. Now, bringing this up because a lot of you have called our phone line, 402-819-6417, and asked us, is taking CBD going to get me in trouble in a drug test? It's a valid question. And the answer is still kind of yes and no, but it's looking like it's leaning towards no. Here's the good news. This latest study used human subjects that were using 100 milligrams of CBD orally or through a vaporizer. And when their urine samples were tested, only one of the 218 urine samples that were collected gave a positive result for THC. And the one that did could be an outlier. Now, there have also been some studies out there that show when CBD encounters acid, it can convert to THC. So by that logic, if you're taking CBD orally, say in a pill form, sooner or later it's going to encounter your stomach acid. The good news is, while scientists have seen this happen in lab settings, there have been no observations of this taking place in the human stomach. The final findings of this study basically said, these data indicate that acute dosing of pure CBD will not result in positive urine drug testing using current federal workplace drug testing guidelines. But of course, there's always a caveat. CBD products that also contain Delta-9 THC may produce urine results for THC metabolites, which basically means until such time that we don't have to worry about it anymore, these CBD products need to have better labeling to illustrate the fact that they have Delta-9 THC in the bottle, so users don't fail drug tests when they're not taking drugs. So while a study like this, printed in a major medical journal, is good news, if you are being drug tested at work, you still need to be careful, you still need to know what you're taking, and you need to be vigilant in finding a company that puts the actual lab results of what is in that bottle right on the label. The good news is we can help you with that. Go to ministryofhemp.com, check out our top brand section, and you will find companies that we have researched, we have reviewed, and that are putting exactly what is in that bottle right on the label. Now it's time for my discussion with Giovanni Jenkins and Stephen Brown, the founders of Nothing But Hemp. Thanks so much for joining us on the show, guys, and talking to me. Let's start with the easy question. How did you two meet? Tell me about Nothing But Hemp. How did this get started? Are you guys old buddies?
So I married Javon's cousin. So about three years ago.
That's definitely one way to meet somebody.
Yeah. Yep. So about 3 years ago, I saw this beautiful teacher. It was actually my son's teacher. And so I chased her. And then we ended up getting married. And at the time I was working in LA, I was a contract CMO for a really large cannabis company. And so at the time when I was there, you know, this great thing, Facebook, I saw that Javon was actually in, California. And I was like, what are you doing out here? And he's like, I'm out recruiting. And so he was a football coach. So he was, recruiting on the collegiate level.
And who'd you coach for, Javon?
At that time, I was at Hamline University.
Okay.
Before that, I was at the University of Minnesota. And prior to that, I spent 14 years as a high school coach in Minneapolis as the head coach at Washburn High School.
Okay, I'm a Husker, so you didn't really coach any place that's offensive to me, so that's okay.
Except for this year, as I think you may
please,
be.
Oh, please. Let's not get into that.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on.
No, you guys just rolled us fair and square. It was fair.
That's right. Yeah. You guys take it, too. I like it.
Oh, yeah. We're super polite here. We're just like, well, that's worse than we expected, but we thought we were going to lose. So thanks for your time. So you were out recruiting football. You were in LA working in cannabis. How do we get to the hemp? How does this happen?
Yeah. So this is what happened. He came over to the condo I was staying in, and there was a big bowl of all sorts of marijuana products. Okay. And so we were doing product development and so we had, of course, a really fun night walking the strip of Hollywood. And then he was like, man, I want to be in the cannabis industry. And I was like, you know what? I'm just about to end this contract. I want to stay in the cannabis industry. We should do something. And so fast forward a few months later, I was in Nevada and I saw a hemp location. It was a CBD only store. I'm like, oh my God, this would go really well in Minnesota. There's nothing here. And so I called him up. I was like, Jinx, you got to check this out. I was like, we need to open up a CBD location in Minnesota and we'll get a bunch of press because there's no one doing it right now.
It's true.
And we'll get press. And so that's what we did.
That's it. That was the conversation.
So a year ago, we opened up our first location. Actually, it hasn't been a year yet, but it was November 3rd. And now we have 11 locations. Some of them are affiliate locations. And then we have our corporate locations.
Okay. So you were living in LA and you decided, I'm tired of this nice weather. It's too beautiful here. I want to go to Minnesota.
Every other week. I still lived in Minnesota.
Okay. All right.
So I went. Every other week, I was there for a full week, but trust me, I miss the weather. I do not like Minnesota weather. It's horrible.
No, I mean, it is what it is. You grow up with it after a while, you can't even feel it anymore. You know, it's just part of the deal. So you called him Jinx. Is that the nickname?
Yeah, that's me, man. I'm Coach Jinx. I'm Jinx. Everybody knows me as Jinx.
Nice.
And it makes sense as Jinx. Giovanni is what I was named, obviously, and that links me back to Iron Range Giovanni Leone, but
wow.
I'm Jinx.
So let me ask you, you were like, yeah, I'm done with football. I want to get into hemp. Did it seem like it was an opportunity thing or was it just right opportunity, right time? Or this guy married your cousin and you were like, I'm just going to go for it.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Fair enough.
It was a huge, you know, opportunity meets preparation, you know, so it's perfect timing. And if he chases Marlo to the 4th of July function like he did and meets the only cannabis user in our family, and it happens to be me,
right?
And he is a cannabis expert, and I am a head football coach, and I can put my hands on 90 kids and 15 guys, and I can control that. I was like, man, this might be cool to be able to try to link up with one guy and see what we can do. And this is what happened.
This is the universe telling you something, basically.
Yeah, man. My mom, as an educator, as a very, very educated lady, was like, go for it. She's a PhD. And she was like, it's a sign. It's like, go. So, and I was like, I got it. I take the message. I'm gone.
So let's talk about hemp in Minnesota. Like, I know that CBD is legal there. And it seems like Minnesota is a little cannabis and hemp friendlier than Nebraska. How hard was it to get into the business and get things going there?
You know, it was a nightmare, actually.
Really?
So when I, you know, thought about, hey, let's have this hemp business, I contacted a local attorney and the attorney said, don't do it. It's illegal.
Yeah.
And so then I talked to a different attorney. He said, well, it's not illegal. You can completely do this. So go and open up a shop. And so we did. But the banking was a very difficult thing because they didn't understand it. And then the credit card processing. So we went through the whole process of not having a bank to, you know, not being able to have a processor, and it was a cash only business, just like a regular marijuana business.
Yeah.
So we went through it. We finally found a bank that would work with us. And so we give them our COAs, all of our lab tests to show them that it's not, you know, it reaches what the law.
The bank wants lab tests?
Yep. So I give the bank lab tests so I could bank with them, which is great. I'm okay with giving them lab tests.
No, that's cool. I just hadn't heard that. I did a couple shows on the trouble with banking and hemp right now. And I'd not heard anyone saying the bank wants to see lab tests. I've just heard people saying, well, the banks are just waiting for it to be completely legal because they're scared. But that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Honestly.
Well, as a privately owned bank, I asked that question. As a privately owned bank, and their founders are the people that are invested in them, aren't afraid to take the risk as long as they can see that it's on the up and up and it's a good business model.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Is your hemp coming from Minnesota?
No. Some of it, yes.
Okay.
So we have a very strong partnership with a company called Siskiyou Sungrown.
Okay.
They are out of Oregon. So their farm's in Williams, but their corporate headquarters is out of Grants Pass, Oregon. And they've won a bunch of cannabis cups with their on their THC side and on their hemp side. They've been growing cannabis for over 20 years. Cedar Gray is very well known in the cannabis industry. And so we really love their product, and we wanted to bring a product that you could find on dispensaries out to some place like Minnesota, where they're getting the Green Roads of the world,
right?
Or like some of the other, hemp bombs, those type of brands where you're just kind of getting an isolate type of product and you're not getting a full spectrum and you're not getting the full plant. And these guys are, it's fully organic. We like what they stood for. They have a low carbon footprint. So everything about them, we really love, and it reaches with our values.
Very cool.
And it actually worked to get rid of my wife's migraines. So it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal product.
Is that how you came into CBD, basically, and hemp, through your wife having trouble with migraines?
Yeah, so she was so against me being in the marijuana business and even me smoking because, she's a teacher. She was a good two-shoes at the time. And so she wasn't bought into this whole hemp thing. And so her migraine was so bad. I said, you know what? Just try some CBD and see what happens. So we went to a dispensary in Nevada, and we ended up picking out Select, which is now called Social CBD.
Okay.
And so it was an isolate product, and actually it worked. It did good, but nothing like a full spectrum.
Right.
It really just, wipes it out pretty quick. With the isolate, you're going to have to go with a much higher dosage to get that same relief.
Sure.
So.
Okay. And what kind of products are you carrying at Nothing But Hemp?
So we carry about 150 different products. We have, a full line of different types of full spectrum tinctures from, 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams. We have Charlotte's Web, which has been a very popular product. We like their story. We really like their product.
Oh, Charlotte's Web is great. We actually just did a giveaway with them on ministryofhemp.com.
So we carry everything that Charlotte has to offer. We carry bath bombs, soaps. Hemp flower looks like marijuana, smells like marijuana.
Right.
Just doesn't get you head high. So we carry all sorts of different strains. We're really excited about this year's harvest because there's about 18 different strains that are out there that.
Yeah, we just had our first legal harvest, which is very cool.
Yeah.
True.
I just interviewed a guy in Michigan talking about the first legal harvest up there, and all the farmers are like, great, we've got it. What do we do with it? I'm like, we need to send to processors. And the processors are like, oh, we're full. We're busy. Like, we need more processors. You know?
Yes, that's actually AURI. They're a research company here in Minnesota, and they were bringing that up at our last Minnesota Hemp Association meeting. And they were talking about that there's just not enough processors.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the biggest bottleneck for everybody is you have all this flour. What do you do with it?
It's going to sit in mold.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Unless you can freeze it or freeze dry it or something. And not everybody has access
to
that.
We know it can freeze here, but.
Yeah, well, yeah. You are in Minnesota, so you just put it in the backyard. You'll be fine.
That's right.
So one of the things I've noticed in talking to a lot of hemp companies and hemp business people is almost everybody is white. It's all a bunch of white guys. Now, there's the exception. There's some indigenous peoples that are growing hemp in like Nebraska and around the Midwest. But outside of that, all the processors, all the retailers, most of the company owners, they're white people. Why is this?
We don't know.
Yeah, because it's
we don't know. What we don't know, we don't know.
Yeah, right. It seems like cannabis seems to be very well-rounded. And there's a lot of different people that have gotten into the cannabis market, but hemp seems to be very white-driven right now.
But for that same reason, that's why the stigma's on it. That's why the perception is on it. Because when the brown people, when the people of color do get involved, it was looked at as a negative for so long. But now that you can, A, line your pockets with it, and B, feel good and have a medicinal, and now that they're doing all the research and the studies are coming out that it is good for you, cannabis I'm talking about, all those things are going to soon start to crumble in the stigmas and the perceptions, and then the people will stop being penalized for just wanting to feel better and calm and relaxed.
Absolutely.
You see a bunch of weed heads sitting around fighting, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. It is funny because the hemp people are a lot chiller than the cannabis people from my experience, doesn't track at all, you know? Like, you guys should be totally mellow, you know? I don't get it.
Right.
Yep. So what can we do to encourage more minority representation in the hemp world? What do you guys think? Speaking as minority representation in the hemp world.
Comes down to education. Yes. I think it's the big piece, but it's also, if we really look at the big pharma, right? That's that's the big thing. They unfortunately target minorities when it comes down to all sorts of pharmaceutical drugs.
Oh, no question.
If they're on a government program, anything of that sort, they're of course going to say, hey, let's not give you something natural. Let's give you something that's going to mess you up.
Right.
And so I think that's another piece. I think there just has to be, we just have to educate. That's the best way that would be able to get minorities on board. And it just doesn't come with just African American.
No.
We don't have a lot of Asian clients. We don't have a lot of Hispanic clients.
It's
predominantly white women between the ages of 35 and 65 years old. That's our demo.
And if you follow that, just to piggyback off of Steven, because we are coming out of education, that is what has made us successful, is the way we've built it, because we will take the time and we will educate and we will spend as much time as somebody needs to make a sound decision, because we know that they're going for comfort and they're going for a lifestyle change. So we're not trying to push products just for price, just for money. Actually, we're trying to keep the price low enough so they can get to maximum comfort as soon as possible.
I think that's a big part of it as well, what you just said, the price. There's a lot of great products out there, but they are very expensive. Mm-hmm. And right now, the hemp market kind of reminds me of like the organic food market when it first really blew up. It was a bunch of rich white people that wanted to go to Whole Foods and say, well, I could spend $4 on an eggplant, at my regular grocery store, or I can spend $10 on one here and feel better about it, when you're not necessarily giving yourself a benefit other than like maybe it's farmed better. Yep. This is a case where we have something that is providing a benefit, that is helping people, but it's kind of out of the reach of a lot of people's hands just as far as budget goes. Do you think this education, does it go as far as to educating like insurance companies and doctors on this stuff too?
It's funny. We work with a lot of doctors and we sometimes will specifically carry products they ask us to.
Really?
Which is really interesting, but they're not allowed to truly give recommendations. Even like, a naturopath doctor.
Yeah.
They wouldn't carry it in their location because they'll get in trouble, but they'll refer that business to us. But we're not seeing that, but we're really seeing it with progressive doctors that are predominantly working with the white population.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest with you, now as you have younger physicians coming out of college that are more in tune to cannabis and the movement of cannabis, we have older patients, clients that are coming in with younger doctors, and it comes out of their mouth, well, she's just young and she's innovative and she just told me to try it because other things aren't working. So I think it's education on both ends.
Yeah.
Just because they're doctors doesn't mean they're educated on cannabinoids and cannabis.
Oh, no, absolutely. I just went and saw my doctor a couple of weeks ago and for like allergy related stuff. And he said, well, what are you taking right now? And I'm like, I take an allergy pill, and I take CBD. And he said, well, what is the CBD doing for you? That's his first question he asked me. I'm like, well, I mean, you're a doctor. Like, don't you know? I mean, and I think honestly, he was quizzing me in the sense where I said, well, honestly, I take it for some pain related stuff and it helps with anxiety. And he was like, good. That's good to hear, because there is still a lot of myths out there. There's people that'll tell you it'll solve everything. It'll cure anything, which can make doctors very nervous. I get that. But what can we do to educate our doctors and our medical people just keep screaming about it, just keep beating the drum, basically?
You know, I think, you know, the doctors in America, especially my son has ADHD, right?
Okay.
And so my doctor's totally against him taking CBD oil. Mm-hmm. I have split custody with my son, so I can't make the full decision on CBD oil.
Right.
It prescribes him, you know, Adderall instead, which I find ridiculous. So
sure.
I don't even trying to educate that doctor and saying, hey, you know, here's some studies, look at European studies. They only believe what they're going to see in the United States.
Of course.
And he'll just keep saying, well, I don't see enough case studies here in the US besides, you know, what we're seeing on the TV.
Right.
And so that's his approach. And he kind of sticks to that. And I think there's a lot of doctors that, you know, get some kickbacks from big pharma. And, you know, they have these reps that are coming in and that are influencing them to say, hey, we have this many studies here, so you can trust this product. You can't trust this other product on the market.
Right.
So
let's get away from that aspect of it and talk more about the business aspect itself. You guys were two crazy people that said, let's open a CBD joint in Minnesota, of all places. Mm-hmm. How do you think we can encourage more minority business owners to look at this as a real chance to get in on something on the ground level?
I think they got to believe in the product, A, and they have to believe that they can make a change, because it's something you have to commit to like everything else in life.
Absolutely.
I mean, we jumped in with both feet, both of us. He's an entrepreneur by trade, so he's used to doing this. I'm somebody who's result oriented and goal driven. And in another sense, in terms of preparing for a whole season, recruiting kids and doing all that stuff. So if you can get people to see the big picture, which is to give people a quality product and have what our look is, an upscaled boutique look, because this is what we wanted to be different.
Right.
And we don't want our products to be found on a smoke shop shelf or at a gas station. So we chose to be different. And I think if you can come up with something different, or even like us, we have an affiliate model, walk the walk and talk the talk. I think it's just believing in yourself like everything else in life.
Yeah. So we have an affiliate location. So we have five affiliates. Most of them are in Florida.
Okay.
And then we actually have, he's a minority business owner as well, who is currently looking for a location. He's paid his affiliate fee. We've trained him already. And so he'll be opening up another location in Minnesota. And then we're actually selling one of our locations to a minority as well. And so our company as a whole are pretty much minority run.
It's run either by
women or people of color in our organization.
So how is to get them to see that it's real, it's really attainable,
right,
that it works, that it takes work, and whatever you're doing for your current line of work, it's going to take that same amount of dedication, but just in a different realm. And then you have to believe in it, because I tell Steven all the time, it's the personality in every single store that makes each store run.
Absolutely.
And if you put a dead person in terms of personality behind the counter, your sales are going to plummet. But if you put a bubbly personality there, we see it all the time. So
yeah,
that's really what it comes down to, the who's.
Well, and that's just any business, man. You know, like, agreed, honestly, that's like rule number one. Be excited and know what you're talking about, right?
Agreed.
So how does the affiliate program work? Did people seek you out, or are you seeking people out?
Both ways. So our affiliate program, it's basically a one-time $5,000 fee. There's a licensing agreement where you get the rights to use our brand. We also provide marketing support. So we have a copywriter on board. I'm not sure if you've ever seen our blog, but we literally write every single day. We write copy in newspapers.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the blog before we jumped on here. So,
yep. And so we're really an educational brand, and we want to educate people about the industry and about of course, our products, and about research in regards of hemp. So, and we just want to educate. And so they actually receive all of that just from becoming an affiliate. They also receive products at a very good discounted rate. So most of the time as a retailer, because of your buying power, you have one location, you're only at a 50% margin because you can't afford to buy,
right,
you know, a bunch of products. So we're able to, at least on the minimum, giving affiliate between a 55% margin all the way up to a 70% margin, sometimes up to a 90%, depending on what products they are.
Wow.
And so we want it to be for them to grow like we did. And we were blessed to build a you know, a contract in place with Sysco that allowed us to grow the way that we did because our margins were so great. So we pass on that savings to our affiliates, and we have an exclusive contract with, you know, Sysco Sun Grown and Tribe Tokes and all the brands that we work with. We built in contracts that give us protection from you know, competitors in the marketplace saying, well, I want to carry that same great product too.
Right, right.
So that's what they're getting.
That's, so you guys put all that in place, start to finish. That's amazing.
Yep. And so then they would have to, they'd have to purchase 75% of their products through our distribution channels.
Okay.
But we don't charge a monthly fee or a royalty like a franchise. So it really allows us to scale. It also allows the affiliate to scale too and to be creative, and also gives them the ability compared to some of these other programs out there. You know, there's, you know, American Shaman, a few others that only allow them to carry their own products.
Right.
Or what we do instead is we allow them to carry other products outside of our distribution channel, 25%, which gives them some freedom too.
That's cool. That's very cool. Let me ask you. So as far as the training goes, you take them all the way through, like, here's CBD, here's what it does, here's how you can market it, here is what you can market. Like, it's the whole shebang, basically.
So we do FDA compliance training, so they know how to talk about it. We do everything from, so we have the FDA compliance training. We have a sales training. I own a company called Connecting Innovations, and I train Best Buy Mobile, GNC franchises on retail sales. So we do everything from personality style training, so they understand their customers, so they could better read them. So for example, if you have someone who's analytical, how do you deal with the analytical customer? So you're attending to their needs.
Sure.
So they have a better understanding, right? And so we go through a whole day of training of just that. We do a whole day of training of our products, and we do a whole day of training. Then we do FDA compliance training, how to use the POS system, literally everything.
So in store, we bring them to the store. Every affiliate, anybody who works with us is endocannabinoid certified. So they have to take the certification training.
That is awesome. Course.
Yep, and so there's a certification course they take online that actually doctors and nurses go through to get their, I believe it's called CEUs.
Yeah,
so it's their, ongoing training. And so they go through that training as well. And then
we put them in one of our stores since we have so many in the area just to work for that last day. It's a 3-day training.
Yeah. And they do just like some on the spot work training, basically talking to the customers. Yep.
And then when they open up, we go on deck for a week and help them.
Just like a restaurant, more or less. It's like if I was opening a McDonald's. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna give you a high five and say, man, go ahead and get it done. See you later.
Only if I open a McDonald's, I'm just making people fat. I'm not helping anybody out, you know. So
And the difference of a franchise, right? So like a McDonald's, for example, you have to carry all of their products, right? And you have to go through their full distribution channel, and then you're paying a royalty back. And we were like, let's make it accessible.
Sure.
So people have a dream of running in the hemp industry. We understand the banking aspect, that we have the credit card processing contacts. We were part of the Square Beta program. We were the first. We were the first out of 10 companies to go in that beta program.
That was real recent, too, right?
That was. We were one of the lucky 10.
Wow, that's awesome! Congratulations.
So,
on that.
So thank you. Really,
it was
really,
a blessing. It was a blessing.
It was totally a blessing.
No doubt.
So, you know, we help them set up a loyalty program for their customers. And then we help them out with their SEO as well. So they're on the maps. If they want to do further SEO for their own website, then, you know, that's up to them.
Sure. So if they were to come to you and say, I'm ordering 75% from you guys and it's all good products, I want to get this other product, but you don't know much about that. Are you going to research it and look into it?
We do. Great so question. That's a great question. So part of our contract, we do that. So we will, you know, check out and see if, you know, the lab that they sent it to is ISO certified.
Certified.
That's all good. Great things.
That's good.
So we have the first right of refusal, but we can only do it based upon if that supplier is just like, you know, a white label supplier, and not like a real true supplier.
Really, it's just something shifty going on, basically. That's good because, I mean, you could set someone up for success, but then they could be like, oh, I want to bring in this this crappy unproven product, you know, that's where things get dangerous, especially if it's your name that's on the front of the building, you know?
Agreed. Correct. We 100% agree with that.
So what is the ideal person that comes to you, like in your mind, the ideal person that comes to start a new Nothing But Hemp?
You know, our ideal person is someone who's entrepreneurial, but also wants to follow a system. So we really want people that are system, that don't try to completely recreate the wheel.
Right.
That's what we look for. So, I mean, I go through a whole interview process prior to actually even having a conversation with them. And if I don't like what I hear, or if I feel that they're a competitor, then we typically will not schedule the meeting.
Okay, you just answered that really well, because this was my gotcha question to see if, like, can I come in and just, like, pay you guys and you guys will just let me, blah? You know?
Yeah.
That was good. That's a good answer, and I like that because, yeah, you can tell, since you guys are invested in it, you have to be really careful with who you're bringing in, of course.
Well, it's called trial and error.
Yeah, no, it is, because we've already been burned
and we're a year into it, but we're so deep into it.
Yeah,
they've come at us like sharks. So we know exactly almost everything, how to protect ourselves at this point after a year.
Well, you got a coach that knows how to recruit. You got a guy and knows how to run a system, right? And you're just looking for team players, basically, at this point.
Right. That's right.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, honestly.
We are doing our best right now to promote to the public about, you know, hemp is another option for you versus taking pharmaceuticals. And I think that's kind of where we start. So if there's people with pain, I think it's really getting to the African-American demographic that's older and having the grandmas use it and the grandfathers. And once it starts working for them, they're going to tell their kids. And that's how you kind of spread the love. And that's what happened, at least on this side of the CBD business already, on the Caucasian side. So I think if we duplicate that same thing, we could do that within the Black community.
I would love to get into some old folks' homes and things like that.
Yeah.
We would love to, because we know that there's a market. We know that. My grandma's 95 years old and she's never drank or never smoked in her life and goes to church 3 days a week. So that's my grandma, Baptist, Southern Baptist. But I say that because she takes CBD now. She takes it because it makes her feel better. And she takes it because it calms her achy little bones and joints and things like
that. That's awesome.
And she's taking the gummy. So if I can get my grandma to try it, she took it to her doctor. Her doctor said, absolutely, try it. And she did it and she swears by it. So that's all it takes is education. But our people need to believe that it's good. It's not habit forming. It's not addictive. It's not going to make them high, because so many times they say, I don't want to be high, you know?
Right.
And that's what a lot of our clients say.
So, Coach, let me ask you. It's okay if I call you Coach, right?
Man, go ahead. My daughter calls me Coach.
Awesome. So do you think that I noted that there is definitely a stigma with the older white generation, like my grandmother, who I recently got to try CBD. She was terrified because she thought it was drugs. You know, is there that same stigma there with the Black and Hispanic aging population as well, that they have obviously seen what drugs have done, you know, to neighborhoods and kids and their own families? Does that same stigma, is it worse or is it about the same?
I think it's the same. I think it's just the stigma it's just older people in general that are more aware and have lived longer than all of us and have more experiences and have seen more people make bad mistakes off of decisions and choices they've made.
Yeah.
So I think they don't want to put things in their body that could possibly be habit forming, be addicting, or possibly cause them to get in a car and hurt themselves or other people.
Right.
So I think they just take chances and they want to really, really do all their information, all their research, and talk to doctors and cross all their T's and dot all their I's.
Sure. And back to what Steve was saying, it's that same belief that I need to talk to my doctor. And when your doctor is the one that's giving you OxyContin or giving you Adderall and you trust that, that just becomes part of what we do, right? And I didn't even know it was making me sick. And that goes back to education, you know?
Exactly. Yep. I think it's health. Obviously, health and pain, we all know, crosses colors, crosses ages, crosses everything. Yeah. Everybody's affected by pain and inflammation and mental health and mental illness. So I don't think it comes down to one color. Just education for everybody about how wonderful this beautiful plant is and how she can help us. I think that's what we need.
Huge thanks to Giovon Jenkins and Stephen Brown from Nothing But Hemp for coming on the show. I can't stress how cool their mission is and how important what they're doing is for this industry. Hemp is a business that is going to hit $1 billion in the U.S. this year, and we have an article all about it right now on ministryofhemp.com that you can check out. $1 billion is a lot of money, and that's plenty to go around, and companies like Nothing But Hemp are going out of their way to teach minorities and people that might not otherwise be able to get into an industry like this exactly how to do it. I cannot say enough how impressive that really is. Next time on the show, I am joined again by Frank Robeson. You may remember him from an earlier episode. He's coming on to talk again about the USDA rules that were just handed down and how inherently screwed up they really are. It's going to be a fun show, and I'm probably going to have to bleep some language. He's a little fired up, and I do not blame him. As always, in the show notes for this episode, I will have links to the study from Johns Hopkins about drug tests, links to Nothing But Hemp, and links to the story about hemp's $1 billion year in America over at ministryofhemp.com. And, of course, a complete written transcript of the show for the hard of hearing. You can also email me your questions to matt@ministryofhemp.com. Hit us up on Twitter @ministryofhemp or Facebook /ministryofhemp. We love to hear from you. By the way, thank you to everyone that has reviewed this show on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. It really does help to get this information in front of people that are looking for it, and it's the easiest possible way you can say thank you if you're enjoying the show. Until next time, friends, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum, your host of the Ministry of Hemp Podcast, signing off.